keep on searching for my place in this world, but it ain't here.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for listening to Faith Fit Radio. I'm Kathy Laguna, your host. We've had some talented and spiritual Catholics from around the country on our podcast in the last few months. Daniel Uberreiter and his rock band, The Thirsting. Emily Wilson and her openness to empower young Catholic women. Tori Harris with her desire to unlock our gifts of the Holy Spirit. They've shared their journey of faith and of mission with us, and I think it's rather interesting. I think from what they've shared and from the different experiences we've had in our own lives, we can definitely relate, right? Many of the things we want, the things that we desire, it doesn't happen overnight. It's all in God's time. So today we'll talk about God's time with our special guest, Father Kevin McGoldrick, but also how we as Catholics, as creative people like Father Kevin, who strive to become an artist of any kind, it could be a musician, a painter, a dancer, or even an actor, how do we balance those professions and talents that are kind of intertwined with the world and still be loyal to our faith and to our God? Now, if you don't know Father Kevin, you'll know now because I'll be playing some of his music, including his creative interpretation of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which I love. And Father Kevin is from Nashville, Tennessee. He's got a bit of a soulful style to his music, which is really cool. Welcome to the show, Father Kevin. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thanks for spending the time with us to chat. You live in Nashville. Did you grow up in the city of music?
So actually, I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I was ordained a priest up there. And then I moved down to Nashville about 6 years ago. I had the opportunity to come down here to work with the Sisters of St. Cecilia, the Dominican Sisters, where people know them as the Nashville Dominicans. Mm. And I've been working in their schools here. So it's been great.
Oh, wow. So then in the last past 6 years, how's it been like to be in a city where music is such a heavily influence?
For me, it's been kind of like a stars aligning, God's providence bringing things together, both with my faith life and then also my my creative and musical background. And I've done music for, you know, pretty much the whole life. But down here, it was definitely this beautiful experience to be saturated in so much talent and so much creativity that it also gave me the opportunity then to really start pursuing that on the side as well, and kind of seeing how that works well with my ministry, is, you know, both of them together.
Oh, nice. So you say you've been doing music all your life. So what kind of kid were you in school? Were you in the band right off of the gate, or did music come later in life?
Yeah, I was pretty much a space cadet in grade school and high school. But I think that's because part of it is the creativity and melancholicness is you're always striving for deeper things. I did a lot of music when I was a kid, but then when I was a freshman in high school, my best friend, who is Jewish, he started taking guitar lessons, and then we hung out almost every day. So he would teach me what he was learning. And then we started right away writing music and having bands. And so through high school and college, we had bands together and did a lot of recording and playing out in Philadelphia. And then when I entered the seminary, I got involved in a lot of worship music. And I've been doing that for a very long time in a lot of different scenarios. And then when I moved down here to Nashville, it really kind of opened up another whole dimension of blending the sacred and the secular and really embracing the good things of secular music and trying to infuse it with faith as well.
Well, that's pretty neat. And then we'll talk about your album in just a second, but was your music always the same genre, or in high school was it like a little bit more rock than it is now?
Yeah, I think that my musical influences are pretty diverse. So high school, definitely rock and Led Zeppelin and Red Hot Chili Peppers and all that kind of stuff. Over the last number of years, I've really kind of, the blues has really become a big part of it for me. And John Mayer would probably be the main influence these days.
Oh, neat. So then Let's talk specifically about your music, because you have an album out. It's your first one, correct?
Yes.
and it's called Square Peg Round Hole. And I thought it was really cool because it went number one on the global chart Cecilia, which I had to look up because I wasn't really sure what Cecilia was, but it's the world music chart. I mean, that's pretty amazing. How did that feel?
Yeah, that was really cool. Cecilia is a music branch of Aletea, which is a Roman Catholic news agency, and they get their message out that way. And so it was really cool to experience people from around the world loving on my music. And Square Peg Round Hole is definitely an autobiographical thing because I think it's melancholic. Every melancholic kind of always feels like nobody understands me. And, you know, why can't you? Like, what? And you're kind of angsty. And that is the way I've always kind of been. And there's a certain level of just embracing that reality because I do think that everybody feels that to some degree, like you're square peg in a round hole, you don't quite fit and you're trying to find your place to fit. And it's also for me, the mixture of Catholic priest, singer, songwriter, I don't know a lot of those, so it doesn't go.
Exactly. Yes. No, that's so
lot,
true.
You know?
So then what would you say was the inspiration behind this album in particular?
Really, for me, this album is kind of a compilation of different eras of my writing style. There's a rap song about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
There's blues music, and there's even some more worship music on there as well. So it's kind of a mix of all of the different things that I've been a part of musically. And really, when I moved down to Nashville, that's what allowed this to come about, just because it's so saturated with good people, good talent, and it's a lot easier to make music here than in other places.
Yeah, I could understand that. So, like you were saying before, Square Peg, and I found it really interesting as an album title. I mean, I did have to look up the definition of it, but it totally makes sense, and especially when I looked at your album cover. Is that intentional with the shapes and the squares that don't necessarily fit? Is that something, how you felt while you were growing up, you didn't really fit in a certain clique or something?
Yeah, I think I really have always felt that a little bit. Always kind of felt that sense of, I know who I am, but I don't know where I fit.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to find that out. And I think for kids especially, there's that trying to search for where you're at and what group you can fit with. And there's a certain level we have to just really start to accept who we are and not try to be something else, not try to be cool. Because I work with high school and grade school kids right now, and the one thing is, you definitely don't want to try to be cool with kids because they see right through you. And you just be who you are, and learning to accept that and embrace that.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point because I remember, I mean, I was in band, you know, from the sixth grade all the way through my senior year in high school. And I don't necessarily consider myself like the typical band nerd. I mean, I do mm-hmm. love to read and playing clarinet was so much fun and stuff, but I had such a different my classification of who I am. So, I mean, not necessarily everybody fits in a certain category. And I completely agree. It's important to be who you are. So do you think you get the best of both worlds, being a priest and using your music and intertwining the two?
Yeah, I think it's allowed me access to I do kind of live in those both worlds, like you said, and it allows me access to meet certain people and intermingle with certain people that I might not regularly mingle with. And for me, that's important to bridge the gap between the secular and the sacred, because I think in a lot of my mind in the past, I kind of threw them like the seculars on one side and the sacred is on the other side. And in my head, I did that. But really, God became a man in the world and to go out into the world and sanctify the world. Mm-hmm. So there's this need to bridge the gap and really become a bridge. And that's being a priest and a singer-songwriter. It's allowed me to do that in a lot of different venues.
Exactly. And you also have an interesting take to a widely known prayer, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But you've come with your own style for the song. So tell us about your version, because I think you'll be a little nervous to make it more upbeat. But I do love it, Father Kevin.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I'm just releasing this right now, and very excited about the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's really a prayer that has become very dear to a lot of people, and there's lots and lots of musical settings and lots of different languages. But during the Year of Mercy, so it's about 2 years ago now, it was Good Friday, and Good Friday is one of those days where you never quite know what to do on Good Friday. Everything kind of feels not right, you know, and maybe that's the whole point of Good Friday. It's like we should be a little uncomfortable on Good Friday.
Yeah.
But I decided that morning, I got up, had my coffee at 5 a.m. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna write a Divine Mercy chaplet. So I spent all day writing and recording and demoing it and trying to get it out. And I figured, well, you know what? At the end of the day, that was pretty good Good Friday. I mean, I probably prayed the Divine Mercy chaplet like 100 times that day. and then it's kind of, it definitely mingles a lot of my musical background and prayer background. And the musical treatment is really kind of a mix between like the Grateful Dead and the International House of Prayer of Kansas City. So if the idea is if the Grateful Dead and the International House of Prayer got together and prayed the Divine Mercy chaplet, this is what I think it would sound like. And the best feedback I've gotten from people is that they find it easy to pray with.
Wow.
And that's kind of the main goal. So I'm releasing that right now. Super excited. Right now it's on iTunes, the pre-order, and that's kind of where I'm pushing everybody right now towards it.
Well, now I definitely know what I'm going to do on Good Friday, because you are so right. That day, it feels like, I don't know, what should I be doing? I definitely don't want to be watching TV, because, you know, you have to be in the moment, and you're kind of just waiting to go to church. So then now we have this Divine Mercy chaplet that we can, you know, pray to throughout the day. This is great.
Yes.
So I wanted to get into the theme I was introducing in the beginning of the podcast, which is God's time. When would you say God spoke to you and said, hey, Kevin, it's time for you to accept the calling to the priesthood? Like, tell us a little bit about your vocation story.
Yeah, everybody has a similar and yet different story vocationally. And for me, it was the call to the priesthood was kind of like a toothache. It was something that was always in the back of my head. Even from the time I was a little kid, 5 years old, 6 years old, I'd go to church and I'd see the priest, and this little thing would pop up and say, hey, you should do that. And then it would go away. You know, just kind of this nagging toothache in the back. And it wasn't in the front of my head. I wasn't running around telling everybody, hey, I got to be a priest. I was your average space cadet kid, want to be an astronaut and a soccer player and a musician and a rock star and all this kind of stuff. My mom always thought that I was going to be a priest. And she was the one who really taught me the faith and taught us the faith in our family. And it was really when I was in the middle of my junior in college when I have what I would call like the beginning of my conversion. Like really, I was always Catholic, but at the beginning of my conversion, really embracing my Catholic faith and becoming a disciple. And once that started to happen and I became more engaged in my faith, that's when this toothache thing became like, hey, listen, man, I'm still here. You got to check it out. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll check it out. And that's when I entered the seminary the next year in Philadelphia. I was there for 8 years and I was ordained in 2003. And, you know, every day hasn't been easy. And even in seminary, every day's not easy, but there was always just a sense of moving in the right direction, kind of a subtle peace moving in the right direction.
So then in the process of like accepting that and in your own personal experience, do you think you had moments when the things that you wanted or maybe even the things that you didn't want happen, do you think it only happens during God's time and not your own? And maybe that's why in the process we kind of, you know, turn away from God in a little just because we don't want to accept that? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's always a challenge in our life, especially when transitions happen or things come upon us that maybe we're not expecting. You know, we're not really in control. And that's kind of the bottom line for us, is that we think we're in control and we act like we're in control, but we're really not. And sometimes God opens doors and it makes sense. Right away, you can see how it makes sense. And sometimes he shuts doors and he closes doors, but he's only doing it because he needs you to get you somewhere else. And if I'm honest about it, when I look at my life through the ups and the downs, he always has done that. Even when something has happened in the circumstances of life that didn't make any sense to me at all and I fought against it, later on I can look back and go, well, gosh, I wouldn't be where I am right now if he hadn't have done that or if he hadn't allowed that circumstance to happen. And I think I still fight against it when things happen, but there is an overall sense of like, well, I do know God is ultimately in charge. You know, we have to trust that.
Exactly. And I think that's such a beautiful visual about the doors opening and closing, because sometimes I think we go through the things in life to develop ourselves, you know, in strength and in spiritual life. So I like that. I'm going to use that from now on. But I'll give you credit because it came from you.
That's okay.
So then
I'm sure I stole it from somebody else.
So then I'm going to put myself in this category of the youth and young adults. I mean, I am a young adult, but I feel as though we live in a world where we're always rushing and getting to the next thing that we want to do. Sometimes we just want to be entertained, or better yet, use the noise as distractions, right? Mm. So what is something you tell the teens that you work with, or even 20-year-olds, about living each day one at a time and not always being in the commotion?
I think it's a greater challenge today than it really ever has been. You know, I mean, we all have cell phones and we all have that stuff, but I know my generation and even the people, you know, in their 20s, we didn't grow up with it the way kids today and millennials have it now. Is that I remember a time when I didn't have a cell phone, when nobody had cell phones, mm-hmm. and it was okay.
Yep,
and
I remember that too.
You know what I mean? Like, and the interesting thing is I know everything worked, but I don't really remember how. And that's confusing to me. But yeah. I think we're in this place where we have not really learned to assimilate this and use the tools as a tool and not just as a distraction. And it's a lot of times I think it's just having people be aware and take yourself aside and say, okay, am I using this intentionally, or am I using this just because that's my fingers on the button and I got to do it and I got to, and it's compulsive, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the difference between intentionality and compulsivity, I think, is key to be aware of and at least ask yourself the question.
I wanted to shift into a topic I think you have some experience in, you know, being a musician and also in your vocation. I call it Catholics in the professional world. And other than the priesthood, you have this outlet for music. And I think there are a lot of Catholics out there who want to get into the music business, you know, become this artist, a dancer, or even in acting. But I think that there are times where these professions and these careers are heavily mixed in with the world. And it's hard to be vocal about our faith and also want to do what we want to do in the careers. So how does a Catholic remain committed in his or her career goals and still be loyal in the faith or to God?
Yeah, Catherine, I think it's a great question. And I would say, you know, number one, it really is our job to bring the faith into the world. So it just to affirm that it is so important for Catholics to be entering every profession, as whether it's a doctor, lawyer, nurses, that kind of profession, or the arts. And I would say especially the arts, because we have to be out there, and Catholics have to be bringing the beauty and the goodness of the faith and just the goodness of life into those professions. I would say in the arts, it is a challenge. I went to Temple University for theater. I was studying to be an actor. That was really kind of the main thing that I was doing. And I loved the people because they were so passionate. And this is, I really, really love them, and they're such good people. And yet I did find it difficult. There was a lot of struggles and pulls against the faith. And I think as Catholics have to be constantly aware going into the world, engaging these people. Number one, these are good people and they're not horrible, evil people who are doing horrible things. Many times they're really good people and maybe they're misled or they just don't understand or they're wounded. And we have to first bless them as good people, as their hearts are in the right place many, many times. And then we bring our faith and our creativity to that scenario. I'd say one thing specifically, we have to have our boundaries, you know, things that we won't do mm-hmm. when we're in the arts. We have to draw those out, you know, individually and kind of as you're entering into it. But it's important that Catholics become the best musicians and the best actors and the best dancers and painters and all of that kind of stuff. And it's crucial that we're out and engaging people that way, because how else are they going to hear about the faith mm-hmm. unless we're engaging with them? for myself, the music scene here in Nashville, you know, Nashville is like 2% Catholic. So it's very, very small Catholic population, very vibrant, but very small. It's mostly Protestant denominations. And a lot of the people that have played with me on my album and my Divine Mercy Chaplet, they're not Catholic, but they've had great experience. And so it was really fun when I was working in the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the studio. I had to explain to them, here's a set of rosary beads, and this is how it works, and this is the way it goes. And it was really a catechetical moment, because these guys were all going, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. Okay, that's neat. Now I'm starting to get the hang of it. And who knows where that's going to go, because they've now understood the rosary, they understand Divine Mercy Chaplet, and, you know, there's a way to cross those boundaries and those bridges.
Yeah, exactly what you were saying before about bridging the gap. That's beautiful. What do you love most about your priesthood and music? And I'm not going to ask you to pick between the two, because that's an unfair question.
Yeah, thank you. I think there is something about the vocation of the artist that it's, I'm going to put quotes around it, but it's vocational. With quotes around it, I realize it's not the same as a vocation to religious life or priesthood, but the artist does feel the need to create and the need to express beauty, whatever your medium of art that might be. And for me, the music has really allowed me to merge both my priesthood and that need to create. The cool thing about living in both worlds is it allows me to do more secular stuff, like my Square Peg Round Hole album stuff. And it also allows me to do things like more specifically religious projects like the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And so living in both worlds gives me access and also a reason to be in both of those musical spheres. And that's been pretty cool.
I like that. It's like the need to create and living in both worlds, because I kind of relate to that, only because I don't really like to talk about too much about my special projects, but I love writing fiction. And that's something that one day maybe I'll be able to publish my book. But I sometimes find myself, you know, writing about, you know, the secular world, not too much about faith. But then there are times where faith leaks into my characters, and I don't do it intentionally. I think it's just a way of God just being there within my writing and within the creative process of it. So I think, you know, it kind of relates to what you're saying about music and about your faith. It's like your faith is leaking into your music. And I think that's such a beautiful creative outlet to have, right?
Yeah. And I would say, you know, as with your writing, it sounds to me similar to J.R.R. Tolkien, right? J.R.R. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, and his faith informed everything he did, but he didn't write specifically religious things. I mean, he wrote The Lord of the Rings, which is definitely a secular work, and it's not allegory. It's just got its own flavor, but there's faith embedded in it, and just because that's who he is. And, you know, as you're doing your writing, I think that can be the same thing. You don't have to be explicitly writing about faith things for the faith to be on the ground floor of the work.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And great example, because I love The Lord of the Rings. So we're about to wrap up on the episode, but I do want to tell our listeners that some of the tracks off of Father Kevin's album, Square Peg Round Hole, will follow the podcast. So you can check out his soulful pop vibe for yourself and fall in love with his creative style. My personal favorite is actually Square Peg. The instrumental part is super catchy, and it's always great to add more Catholic music to your iTunes, because you can't get enough of that. Father Kevin, what's your website so we can check out your music and all the other cool things you're going to be doing this year?
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. My website is Kevin McGoldrick Music, and you can go there and subscribe to my email newsletter and find out what's going on with me there. And across all socials, it's the same. So if you could like my page on Facebook, that would be awesome, Kevin McGoldrick Music. On Instagram, you can follow me, Kevin McGoldrick Music. And Twitter, I think it's K McG Music. I'm not as good at Twitter, but
yeah,
Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can get Square Peg. You can get that on iTunes, Bandcamp, a bunch of other places. And I would just point, especially the Divine Mercy Chaplet that I'm releasing right now. If you can go right to iTunes, it's exclusively on iTunes right now, so you can pre-order it there, and you'll be one of the first people to get it. So I'd love to get that out and share that message with people so people are really getting into praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Oh, that's great. So then other than Divine Mercy Chaplet, do you have any cool projects that you have in mind for this new year?
I do. I have a couple things lined up. I'm working on an EP called Twisted Mystics, where I'm going to be doing covers, acoustic covers of some secular songs and John Mayer and things like that.
Oh, that's really nice. I have a request.
Yeah.
Can you do any Taylor Swift?
Here we go.
I was just kidding. How about Linkin Park? That's my favorite.
Well, you know what? If it translates, it could happen.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Father Kevin. It was great having you on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Catherine. God bless.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Kathy Laguna from Faithfit Radio. Catch you on the next one.
Round hole. I'm a square peg, baby.
searching for my place in this world, but it ain't here in this round hole. Jesus, you are beautiful.